Hello and welcome to Hey, I Loved That Movie, the podcast where we rewatch the films we loved when we were younger to see if they still hold up. I'm Dan.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Helena.
And for this episode, we watched Pitch Perfect.
Zoom, zoom,
da,
zoom,
da,
zoom.
Da, da,
da, da. I really just pick a different song each film.
Well, yeah, that's what Anna Kendrick does.
True. We did a married an Anna Kendrick mashup.
I think this is the first one we've done that Helena introduced me to instead of the other way around.
And then you introduced it to me, and it wasn't one of the terrible ones.
And it was good, yeah. I remember Helena was like, we need to watch this. It is really funny, I promise. And I was like, fine, okay, let's watch it. And then she just fucking throws up all over the whole crowd and I was like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Weirdly,
the projectile vomiting really makes this movie.
It's for a film about a cappella. And teen
so
drama.
Much
there's a surprising amount of vomit. Not a lot of vomit, but there's a surprising amount.
Yeah, it's not a one-off and it is copious?
Yeah.
It's more than you would expect.
So
but also, I feel like they don't overdo it.
No. Considering they overdo literally everything else.
Oh, of course, yeah.
What
so
is this
film? I wanted to do this movie for ages, but part of me was like, no, it's not been long enough to go, but it has.
It's been long enough.
It's now been 12 years since this came out. Yeah.
We don't talk about
it. I also was surprised at how long it had actually been since I last watched it, because I hadn't logged it on Letterboxd yet, which I've been doing since like late 2019. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It has been a while.
I've watched this film. This is the first time this year. But I definitely saw it last. I think I see it at least yearly.
Oh yeah,
that's not the premise of the show, Helena.
I haven't seen it for a long time. Mainly because I feel like I need a reason to watch Pitch Perfect. I don't know why I feel like I do.
Pitch Perfect, it's one of those ones that's kind of always on, and also Jim likes it, so it gets put on randomly as well.
Yeah, it's a good film. What is this film?
It's a sports movie, but about a cappella.
Yeah.
I wasn't ever going to see it. Because I thought it looked shit.
Yeah, it does look shit.
When I was...
Yeah.
It does.
If you try and explain it to someone, it also sounds shit.
And all the adverts look shit. It's weird.
But my friend had free tickets to go and see a film at View, and she was like, do you want to come and watch Pitch Perfect? And I was like, not really. And then she was like, I'm paying. And I'm like, yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Free I do not have that much on that I won't go to the cinema for free.
You also buy the popcorn.
I mean, we were sneaking in popcorn.
Ah.
And before you realised you didn't have to sneak it in, yeah.
But that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
You wear a big coat.
I just remember getting burned when, remember when Westcliff, was it? Well, I guess
maybe
the Carlton. We shouldn't name it the Carlton. Westcliff Cinema, Westgate Cinema changed its rules, but we didn't know and like just brazenly walked in with massive bags of popcorn and they were like, excuse me.
That was like the one time and I was like, oh, that's so annoying.
Because it was like, a new owners had just taken over.
And
we didn't know. And that was awkward. Because like, how much popcorn do I really want to eat standing on the pavement in Westgate?
Handfuls.
Not a bag full.
Shovel it in, don't waste that food.
Well, yeah, obviously. We paid more for the food than we did for the tickets.
Yeah. What you say is, I won't open it. Not throwing it away, though.
Well, they offered to let us keep it and we could take it back with us. They actually did offer us that.
Mm. Yeah, I'd do that.
Well, or just eat enough that you can then wrap it up and hide it.
That's what we did, I think.
Yeah.
And then just surreptitiously walked back in with like, oh, we've all taken our coats off and are carrying them in our hands.
Yeah.
Crunchy, crunchy coats.
Crunchy popcorn-smelling coats. What's that? Oh, that is my popcorn-smelling perfume.
I was hooked on this film as soon as I saw it. I've watched it loads. And got Dan to watch it and watched it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had the DVD and it came with a digital download.
Nice.
So I had a legit copy just on my computer. And then I remember, like, the first, like, one of the first movie nights I did as a student in my, back in, because I was in halls that were so, I was in really not great halls, so we didn't have a living room or anything. So it was just, I think there were about five or six of us all on my single bed watching Pitch Perfect through a, it would have been my dad's old CCTV monitor.
Oh.
That I took to uni.
Okay.
Played on a memory stick connected to an Xbox 360.
Oh.
So a bit of a downgrade for the cinema, but that's how I used to watch
films.
That's
the way they
year.
Want you to experience the film.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just everyone I've shown this film to has enjoyed it. So it's been a really rewarding film in that way, because I'm like, no, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
You're like, yes,
trust me.
Good taste.
Because yeah, and it's not like it's not a deep or meaningful film. It's not life changing. There's nothing like in it that makes you go, oh, wow, I'm so like that was an experience. It's just quite good.
Funny.
It's just good, and it is actually funny. Yeah,
and it the jokes still make me laugh.
Yeah, because it's it for its premise and its story, it's quite well written.
Yeah,
yeah, because it's Elizabeth Banks that wrote it, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A who? Oh,
Elizabeth
yeah,
Banks,
yeah.
And she does she's one of the commentators.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she gave herself the best role.
Oh, and yeah, they are such good characters, the two commentators.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's improvised as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's just like the actors improvising, which is great. It's good. Oh, man. So, yeah, no, I watched this because Dan showed me this film and was like, actually, no, it's quite good. It's right.
I think this film was like a movie night staple for a bit. Right.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those films you showed me that I didn't have to pretend to like.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah.
I like a lot of the other ones.
Yeah. Listen to previous episodes to find out.
Find out. Which one.
It's all of them.
It's most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was like...
It yes, wasn't long dumb. After some of those more like experience-based films came out, I think. So it was like, was it the One Direction film?
Yeah.
Which, I know that obviously we've just had the Taylor Swift Eras tour. Right?
Yeah.
Is it Eras or Eras?
Eras.
Eras, yeah.
Which I think is probably quite good because it's in cinema. But back in 2012, it was the One Direction's, like, show.
Yeah.
It didn't sound good. And I kind of thought this was going to be kind of similar.
Yeah.
And aimed at, like, the same crowd of, like, you just want to hear some songs being sung and in a cinema, which just didn't really appeal.
This film, like, no other film at the time came out that was like this. There was no, like, reference to another film at the time. It wasn't like, oh yeah, it's just another one of those music films, because there wasn't any.
No, it was basically taking the, like Dodgeball and shit like that. Basically taking that sort of thing and just giving it a new premise where it's like...
But better.
Yeah, this obscure thing... is the most important thing in the fucking world to these characters.
Yeah. And then they did it, made it a musical.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's a musical. This film is a musical.
Yeah, it's a musical, but it's...
Jukebox musical, is it?
No, because a jukebox musical... Like, technically a musical is the music isn't diegetic. Like, the people can't hear it.
Yeah.
But it's basically a musical.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Glee.
But
a cappella and not better, I guess.
It's taking the piss out of Glee, is what it feels
definitely.
Like.
And it's very self-aware.
Yeah, 100%.
I really enjoy in all this, films that are like that, where it's this like, film, yes, they all think it's kind of dumb and they're having the best time.
This film couldn't exist if it was taken seriously.
Yeah.
Like, this film would be so much worse if it was done incredibly seriously. And
but Aubrey is such a good straight man for that, where because she's like the leader of the a cappella group, but she's also the one that projectile vomits at the start.
Yes, she's very stressed.
She has like a puking reaction to stress.
We should go through the story because I didn't really pay attention. I never really paid attention to the beginning of this film, where so they're an a cappella group on like
the a cappella finals.
Yeah, across like the. A cappella competing world, which I'm still not sure it's real or not.
No, well, even one of the commentators is like, yeah, this is a big thing now.
Yeah. Or,
no, I think that's Anna Kendrick's character.
Yeah, and like, yeah, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Bard and Bellas, which are the...
Yeah, it's the first time that an all-female group has made it to the finals of the International A Cappella...
Corporations in the Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Which they repeat, like, 100 times.
Yeah, I assume the Lincoln Center is a big deal.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's, like, a major event place. But, yeah, so they go on stage, they sing a quite boring song...
An Ace of Base song, band famously founded by a Nazi.
Yeah. hasn't that bit? It was odd. But before that, I didn't know that, like, the girl... So Aubrey is, like, becomes the head in the film, becomes, like, the leader of the Bard and Bellas throughout the film. But I didn't realise at the beginning she wasn't the leader. She was, like, the girl the year above her was. And she's fucking foul to her.
Yeah, everyone is in the year above, apart from the two main, like the two girls that are carrying on the legacy of the Bard and Bellas.
Yeah,
and the girls are super catty, and like the whole vibe of the Bard and Bellas is really like tense and like
competitive
and really horrible. Like they're all in these really like
they look
severe
like
outfits.
Air
look
like
and they do make a joke about that in the film as well, which was great.
Yeah.
But they have these scarves and they're wearing like matching little suit skirt combos.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, stick thin, gorgeous, made up, like
she's given a solo. Audrey's given a solo.
Yeah.
And she goes out, as soon as the solo starts, she vomits on the front of the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a lot. Like they fully have a hose pipe in front of her.
Yeah. It's great. And it's so surprising. And you're like, oh, that's what this film is.
Yeah, it really comes out of nowhere.
Genuinely the moment where you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, the commentary is so funny as well. Because they're just like, oh, and it's like, oh, she came up and she lost her lunch. And they're like, oh, no, she's not lost it. We know exactly where it is.
It's all over
the third row.
Oh, it's great. And then we go back to the school, which is the... Yeah, the school where
we cut to like the main character at this point is we have our first sick beat.
We also
Anna Kendrick's character
with her fake movie technology software.
Yeah, we also learn where the guy group at the school is like wins the competition. It wins the singing competition every year.
Yeah, the Troublemakers.
Troublemakers.
That's what they're called. They win every year, so the Bard and Bellas are like, we've got to win. They're the worst. Fucking dumb. But yeah, we get Anna Kendrick and her first mashup.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick loves to mash up them beats.
And
she's alternative in this, in that she has eyeliner and one earring.
And she's just kind of a bit mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of a bit of a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because her dad works at the at the college. She's literally going there for free.
But
yeah.
She wants to go to, where was it?
The... LA and be a
LA
DJ and produce music.
She wants to be a music producer and pay her dues.
I need to point out that every music producer I've ever met has a fucking degree in music. Like, every single music producer I've ever met has some sort of formal education that helped them get the... Like, unless they were born into a family of music or, like, 100% grew up around it, they all fucking
have education.
Yeah, I
guess, like, if your parents or best friend's dad or someone, you like, family friend owns a studio and literally you're an apprentice.
Yeah. That
like,
it,
otherwise, you need
get a formal education.
Yeah, but it's definitely
complicated.
That, it's that teenage kind of aspirations of, I don't have to do what you say I can do. I can just go and do it.
But even the parents just, like, is talking about, oh, you need to get a degree in something. And at no point are they like, maybe music.
Yeah.
It's like a degree in music just outright doesn't exist. So, like, but no.
Well, she's in her first year. She literally doesn't have to choose her major yet.
But they don't even mention that, like, music could be an option. She's like,
there's a music production course.
Yes.
Yeah. And considering they have their own fucking campus radio.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like you need
to. There's going to be media production, there's going to be music. For music for advertising or consumer music and all the other stuff that you need to like actually have a if
which
you want to go
like,
into like commercial production of music.
Yeah, which is like what most music producers do is they produce jingles. Like, that's what they do between albums. It's not the most exciting thing. But she's so... It's so weird watching people go, oh, she's like, I'm going to go out there and just do it. It's like, no, you need a degree to be able to, like, understand the what's happening.
Being able to find two songs, two pop songs that have the same chord progression and put them on top of each other does not mean that you are ready to be a music producer living on your own in LA.
Music is so complicated.
And her dad's fully funding her degree as well. Yeah, obviously it's like a weird thing for England where it's like, well, you kind of, you don't take, like the student, the way our student debt works is equally crazy, but
it's less delayed crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, it's more just, you know, it haunts you forever, whereas, but not immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go and get in America, they're like, right, you've graduated, pay up.
Yeah. Go and get a music degree. It's like the thing. I just needed to, because that bothered me the entire film, because at no point do they mention that there's literally a compromise.
They literally don't show what she's doing for an education at any point. She's literally
like a philosophy.
That's the best thing about this film, though, is that like you know nothing about characters.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just all about the acapella.
Yeah.
No, you know she likes
the dodgeball
music
equivalent, or like any sort of film, sport film.
Yeah.
You know she likes mashing up music, and most of her mashups are terrible. I think that's
it's
me.
Almost like they only work in a cappella form.
What gets me is like they're always like, oh, she just sits here and she mashes up, and she's always got her headphones on, and they're always bad. Like they're always not good mashups. And it's always with Bulletproof by Sia. And that, oh, that fucking bothers. By David Guetta. She's always like...
Oh, yeah, when her and Jesse hang out, she's like, oh, you know David Guetta? It's like... It's
in the next kind of weird scene. This film starts pretty weird with the vomiting, but then it gets a bit more weird and intense with... character. Oh God, how have I forgotten her name?
Is it Chloe?
Chloe. Brittany Snow.
Well, so we'll get to that. We need to kind of set up why that happened.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the other characters introduced at this point as well. You've got Jesse, who's the sort of love interest, and then his weird roommate, Dear Evan Hansen. And then
Ben Platt.
Yeah,
which is weird to be like, this is where he was.
It's, you know, the age that he was at where he could play someone in college/high school.
Yeah.
And not, you know, 11 years down the line.
but, yeah, so we meet them. Ben Platt's character.
We meet Anna Kendrick's very kind of hostile roommate.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Understandably, it's, she's...
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I have sympathy for... If I like had to share a room with someone and the first thing they brought out was a fucking mix pad,
I'd be like, "Yeah, do you know what I would do?" I'd be like, "Oh, you're doing a degree in music? That's the first thing they'd ask."
Majoring in music, yeah.
That's the first thing you'd fucking ask. But no, yeah. And then we meet the Bard and Bellas again. Now it's Aubrey and Chloe are now in charge.
And yeah, they're trying to hire people.
Yeah, so it's they go to the we find out a little bit about her dad, like her parents are divorced, poor thing.
Yeah.
And Anna's character is like, I'm gonna go to the society's fair or whatever it's called.
Anna Kendrick's character is a really awful Becca. She's a terrible person, but like she's aware of it, so it's fine. Like throughout the film, she's like everyone keeps telling her how mean she is. She's like, yeah, I know I push people away. It's like, that doesn't make you a better person.
No,
it makes her a teenager with divorced parents who thinks that they're cool and edgy. Like, it makes sense as a character.
Yeah, and really fucking loves that one David Guetta song.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fucking annoying.
And so the Benji and...
Jesse.
Are both sort of they're also at the activities fair or society's fair, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And Benji's like, there's only one group you want to be in, apart from like, and then they list like several other things and ends with actual cool people. And then it's like, but these guys, like, these are the coolest guys on campus.
Yeah. I love
and
how...
They, and then, if you have the subtitle... Did you guys have subtitles on for this?
No.
No.
Because it says, like... Because they're singing Whip It at the time.
Yeah.
And when he says, like, the coolest guys on campus, and it just says exuberant singing.
Yeah. I don't know if a cappella is cool or not in this film.
It has... I don't think it is. It but it is. For the people audiences. Who like a cappella is cool.
It garners huge audiences every time they do it, though. Like, every time they do any kind of performance, apart from once, there's, like, huge in-love audiences.
Yeah, that's just the parents of the people performing.
If it's cool, though. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and, like, well, the Lincoln Center is a big deal, but it is one of those things where it's, like, yeah, collegiate a cappella is definitely a bigger deal in this film than it is in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's cool.
But not even, like, just those events. When they do the riff-off, we'll get to that. But when they do the riff-off, they have a big audience.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of people like, there, yeah. And they get so hired strange. To play at a frat house or something.
Yeah, we'll talk about the frat house, because that's a strange one. But yeah, Becca goes... Well, you get to meet all of the new a cappella singers.
So, Audrey and Chloe are, like, trying to get people to join.
Yeah.
Handing out flyers.
And like, no.
Chloe they has this, like, is like, why don't... Why don't we just pick good singers? And Aubrey's like, no, they've got to be bikini ready and perfect. And then Fat Amy comes along and is like, yeah, I'm Fat Amy. Which I really thought was funny in 2012. Now I'm like, it's a bit on the nose.
I think, I think it's fun. Like, it's one of those jokes where she is incredibly hot. Like, Fat Amy is an incredibly hostile person.
Yeah.
In general, and like she says, you call herself Amy, so skinny bitches, like, you don't call me that anyway.
Yeah,
it's like, so and skinny bitches, like, you don't call me that behind my back.
Yeah, and it's like, no one has said anything to you.
Yeah, just immediately, that's the first thing she comes out with.
She's so
also
like
Rebel Wilson is so fucking funny in this, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It feels like
there's a lot of her lines are improvised.
Oh,
they're really good. Some of the outtakes are really funny.
Yeah, it's the reaction of like, she's so utterly confident in herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so, like, quite jarring.
She's also super Australian in this.
Incredibly Australian. She joins. Because they're like, can you harmonise? And she does, and then she does a lot more than that.
Yeah, she really shows them that she's got pipes.
Yeah.
And then they approach Becca, and there's whole speech, and she's like, that's a thing, and then she's like, it's kind of lame, and Audrey calls her a bitch.
Yes.
She's
zero,
like, wow.
Hesitation. Zero hesitation.
And Chloe's like, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't even sing, so let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then she goes to look at the DJ stall, and unfortunately it's Deaf Jews.
Yeah.
Society. I wasn't sure how I felt about the jokes that where Rebel Wilson's like, that's not a real word, but keep trying.
Yeah. That was a bit of an odd one.
I was like, I'm not sure if that's okay.
Again, the joke was on how stupid she is.
Yeah.
And like confident in the stupid. It wasn't like a joke at anyone's expense but hers.
Yeah. And also her, I guess her I don't want to say misplaced confidence, but when at the end she's like, right, I'll give you my number.
Yeah, it's an utter
But Becca, unsurprisingly, because she doesn't want to be there, is not thriving at university.
No,
so she...
She doesn't
and her dad comes into her room.
Yeah, it's weird.
That, and I was like, I would be fucking fuming if someone did that to me, like, when I was a student, like, an adult. Like,
as, like, if I was her roommate, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Or, you know, how does he even get in there? Because aren't they supposed to be... kind of locked, like, dormitories? Yeah. Like, I know he's staff, but still, like, it's...
That's
it's
even worse. That's more. Yeah. That's more of a problem.
So it's, he's like, oh, this doesn't look like your philosophy class. And she's fine with him being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like...
He's quite reasonable, because he does say to her, he's like, yeah, he's like, if you can just stick it out for a year and then you still don't like it, I'll pay for you to go to LA. It's fine.
He's very
but
reasonable.
Then he's like, but you have to like join something, do an activity, because you're just sitting here rotting. That's not trying. Of course you're not going to enjoy it.
She has, however, joined the... Yeah, she's helping out at the radio station. Yeah. Her and Jesse are organising vinyl, run by the guy who plays a vigilante in Peacemaker, and he's also in Bridgerton, apparently.
He's very sexy.
Yeah, apparently he's very sexy in Bridgerton as well. In Peacemaker, he's a fucking nerd. It's really funny.
Literally
so good.
Literally everyone in Bridgerton is sexy. That's the point of the show. The entire point of that show.
Yeah, I've seen
it's just
one
sort
episode.
Of lace and corsets and sex, I think. Yeah. So. But yeah, so, and Jesse immediately fancies the tits off of Bella. Not Bella, yeah. Becca.
Becca.
Don't blame him, but you know.
No, me neither. There's another reason I really enjoyed this film. And we're getting there. So it's only been a month. So the Bellas are now putting on the audition. Not just the Bellas, but four a cappella groups on campus.
Yeah. One of them is weed.
Oh, she's encouraged to audition because the shower scene is
shower scene is incredible.
So she just walks in singing to herself, and Chloe's in the shower with a guy
singing Bulletproof. Like again, this fucking song.
Well, it's because she's the only one that knows David Guetta.
Yeah, she's just singing it, and she's got a really nice voice. But yeah,
it's because it's Anna Kendrick, and Chloe Anna Kendrick stops. Is a stage performer.
Chloe stops, I assume, having sex. Like pulls the curtain, and oh my god, the way she pulls the curtain back is so psychotic. And she's naked. Becca's naked.
Her boyfriend is also
she's
naked.
She's just like, you can sing. What was good about this scene is that just before that, she's Becca's reaction is perfect. Of like, oh my god, what the fuck are you doing? And like trying to cover herself up with a sponge.
Yeah.
And Chloe's like really quite sexual about it. It's like no wonder she has just stopped having sex. Yeah. She's like, it's my lady jam. She's like, oh yeah, that's the song I used to get myself off.
Yeah.
And then she's like, sing it for me.
Yeah.
And Anna Kendrick's
and they're
Becca's
both just
like,
naked in the shower.
Well, Becca's like, you're naked. And Chloe's just like, I'm very confident. Fucking fair. You know what?
But they sing and Chloe does a really nice counter melody.
Yeah.
And or harmony, as it's also called, I guess.
All right, we know you did music. Hey, look, you did music.
Yeah, I did music.
So much fucking tell, Becca.
She's like, please come to the auditions. And Becca's like, okay.
You leave me alone.
And then just as she's about to, Chloe's about to leave, her boyfriend or the guy that she's having sex with, like, comes up behind her.
Yeah, we never
see
him again.
Yeah. it's sort of made quite apparent that Chloe fucks in this film. But he's like, you've got a lovely voice. And she's just like, thanks. I can't imagine, like, having to share showers like that, like shower stalls at university. There was one halls where I went that was a bit like that, but it was before 14 people to a flat, and they had like cubicle toilets and showers, and they just looked revolting.
Oof. Yeah.
And I did not go for that halls. Glad to share. My shared bathroom was there were two toilets and two showers and two sinks and everything. So.
Yeah.
It was, vaguely civilized for a flat of six people.
Yeah. So they do the audition, and
thing that really stuck in my head. And
Christopher Mintz Plasse introducing it, and this being like his only scene is being the auditions guy. And he's great. But the audition of them all having to sing Since You've Been Gone.
Yes.
But the bit that always stuck in my head is the girl crying when she's singing It's so funny.
I really like the other guy, the guy that seems to be the one like organizing all their stuff, and he's just like, oh, if I could hit a single note I would, but I can't, and I hate myself every day for it. That's such a quick bit, and then he's just gone.
They're really funny side characters.
Every like side character in this is really good. And I think that's what makes the film more than like the main stuff, is every single side gag lands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
not every single one, but a lot of them land.
Yeah, mostly the little stuff. But I like, yeah, the fucking Since You've Been Gone is so good. And it's the first proper bit of this film.
Yeah, because I guess there's the song right at the start, the Rihanna song, and the puke. But they're overshadowed, I think, by the projectile vomiting.
Yeah. They're like introduction to, yeah. This is like, oh yeah, this is the film. This is what the rest of this film is going to be. I get it. Yeah, so I love the girl crying is great. Hypersexual girl is brilliant.
Yeah, the really quiet girl as well.
Yeah, the quiet girl is... It's great. Like, I've seen this film enough now that I know what she's saying in each scene.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic. But I really like the really happy, like peppy girl as well.
Yeah.
Who's doing all the actions.
Yeah, the guy who's singing it like it's an opera. Love that. Yeah. And then you have all the main characters.
Amy just fucking going for it. She's like, oh, I don't have a backup singers? Okay, no, that's fair enough. That's I can do this.
And Jesse auditions, and so does Benji. And Benji sings amazingly well, and has he's like the final note and everything, and it's gorgeous. But he rubs Bumper the wrong way.
Yeah,
Bumper and being Bumper's the head of
the treble mate.
Yeah, Adam Devine. Bumper's he is so dickhead. Fucking good.
Adam Devine. Like I have a soft spot for Adam Devine anyway, but like. He's so funny in this. He also auditioned for this thinking it was about baseball.
Yes.
Which is just fantastic.
Yes, he did.
That's very funny. I did not know that.
Yeah. But Bumper's a dickhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bumper's such a dickhead. To be fair, Benji comes on really strong because I think the first thing he says to him, oh, the reason I learned magic is because you performed...
Yeah,
it's
like your performance
magic?
Of like, Do You Believe in Magic inspired me to become a close-up magician.
Huh. That's a weird thing to do.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say, like, one of my favourite jokes about Benji right at the start is when he, like, Jesse goes into their shared room and Benji's, like, made his like, it's so nerd creepy. Teenage boy, like, 110%. Yeah. He's brought all his figurines.
Yeah, like loads of Star Wars collectibles.
There's loads of Star Wars stuff. And he's like, sorry, I'm not just a complete nerd. I also have a special interest in close-up magic.
He pulls the hamster out and he's like, how long's that been in there? Too long. It's a bit later on, but when he's like, right, Benji, come with me, but don't be weird. And he's like, what do you mean don't be weird? And a dove just lands on his shoulder. Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he's talking to Buster, the Bumper the first time, and Bumper's like, the weird is actually that you're giving off is affecting my vocal cords.
Yeah. Oh, Bumper's
and
such a
Jesse's
dick.
Like, oh, Benji's like, I don't know what I did wrong. And do you think it was the magic? And Jesse's just like, the magic was fun. Like, the trick was great. The talking was a bit weird.
But yeah, they sing the song.
Yeah, and it's the way they do it. It's a clip everyone should watch on YouTube. Yeah, it's great. It is really good. But they've layered it so it's a cappella, but it's each person's audition is doing like a different part, and they layer them on top of each other.
It's really good. This film is far... Like, I think that's something we can say about every single bit of this film. It's far better than it should be. Like, yeah. The editing is far better than it deserves to be. The writing is far better than it should be for this film. The acting is far better. The jokes are way too good.
I've just remembered the joke about Baloney Barb at the start.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And she could never join because her boobs look like baloney. And they do.
It's such a visual gag.
Biggest areolas ever.
It's such a good visual gag.
Hmm.
And then, they finish the song.
Becca shows up late and does the cup song.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't... that went viral, I guess.
Yeah. She's like, I didn't know I had to learn that.
And I remember at the time thinking, oh my god, it sounds amazing and she's so hot. Watching it, I guess this time probably for the 20th odd time, I'm like, it's not that good.
What?
Like, it doesn't show off her voice. Like, the song doesn't show off her voice particularly.
Isn't it like a kid's thing, that the cop song in America? Yeah. I always thought it was like an actual thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't invented for this, right?
I have not.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I learned how to do it, and I can still do it, I think.
I learned how to do it, and I also taught someone in Russia how to do it, who then taught it to a bunch of kids in Finland.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah, far-reaching. Yeah. And I taught it to some kids in Sochi.
It's great. It's such a cool
thing. Once you've picked it up, it does make you feel quite talented.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, it's really not that impressive.
I like the videos of someone trying to do it with just a glass full of water.
Yeah.
It goes over.
Oh, there was a, there is a Vine series where it's like this guy is being haunted, like people keep playing that, and he has to, as soon as they start playing it, he has to do the motions, but it's no matter what. So like sometimes it's with a bowl of cereal, a full bowl of cereal.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Vine was so chaotic.
Yeah.
Vine was like so... We forgot.
I quoted a Vine to my husband earlier today, and I don't know if he was just messing with me, but he didn't seem to remember it and just looked at me like I was weird and was like, no, that's...
What did you quote? Which one?
Two guys sitting in a hot tub.
10 feet apart because they're not gay.
They're not gay. Yeah. For me, like, that's just a part of history now.
Just so weird that that was the guy from Smosh.
And they were roommates. There's so
it
many
was the guy from what?
Smosh.
Smosh, all right.
That's Anthony Padilla's Vine. That's weird.
Yeah.
Because it's Jim. Also, we never learned the story behind the roommates.
No, because it's just someone walking past on the phone.
And they were roommates. I want to know what happened. I love that. Vine was so chaotic.
It was good. Apart from all the, like, do it for the Vine, you know.
Yeah.
It
was
weird. Yeah.
There's a little
that
bad
side
stuff
of it was bad. But,
I remember, you know. I still remember the very first Vine I ever saw was, it was Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg, and then someone takes a plate out of a microwave and goes, fuck, and drops it. That was, peak comedy.
Yeah. But you had six seconds.
Yeah.
None of this TikTok shit where it's like, oh, I could be up for 2 minutes. No, you get six fucking seconds.
And yet, TikTok has been ultimately so much worse for my attention span.
Yeah. Well, it's because it can be slightly longer. You can do more in that time. Mm. Nobody on Vine was like, hey, this is my day. Which is
get
fine.
Get ready with me. You just headbang a makeup tray and like walk out the room.
Yeah. No one was doing a get ready with me. You couldn't like build a story. You had to 6 seconds.
Just before we move on from the auditions,
yeah,
we have to and we've talked about Titanium. Obviously, they sing it and the shower
a lot throughout.
What we haven't brought up is that she did that mashup for Titanium.
The mashup is in Titanium's nearly all of her mashups, isn't it?
It's 500 Miles, The Proclaimers.
Was the worst one.
When I wake up, and I just remember hearing that and being like, what the.
That's
why?
Such a choice to
why
make.
Is she made? Yeah, because it's a joke song. Like that is not a serious. Like the Proclaimers is not a serious band in the way that David Guetta and
surreal...
Sia are.
For like, because I can't imagine that song did numbers in America.
Yeah, no niche. I'd imagine
it barely did anything here. Like, that's such a strange song for the producers to pick. I guess it was like the one songs they got. They got the rights to Bulletproof by David Guetta and Sia and 500 Miles by The Proclaimers.
No, you're getting Titanium. It's Bulletproof by LaRue. That's...
Oh, yeah. But they did do a song called Bulletproof, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's called Titanium for David Guetta.
That's it.
And then Bulletproof.
Proof is LaRue.
LaRue.
It's because there's a mashup
which
of
is
those
later
two
on.
Songs.
Yeah. It is. I can sing... Almost all of the from the audition, obviously that's just the one song, but all of the mashups
the
that
mashups.
Come later, all of the shows, I know all the words to.
Yeah, I do love that this film treats Anna Kendrick's Becca's mashups as like better
good.
Than like,
yeah.
But also like they're acting like she's the first. A cappella group to do mashups when, like, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what they've all. It's just because the Bellas are sticking to the formula all the time.
Yeah,
anyway, she gets into the Bellas.
Yeah, she gets into the Bellas. There's initiation, and one of the rules is you can't fuck anyone in the treble makers.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the rules.
Because if you let them penetrate you, they won't respect you.
It's not a good enough time to penetrate. That got quoted so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You couldn't say penetrate. for quite a long time after that film came out.
No.
But also,
Oh, no. Like, literally, was just going to say, for some reason, and there is no need for the particular bit to be in my head all the time, it's just when Benji sees her there and he's like, Bakar! And I don't know why. Whenever I hit someone's called Becca, that's the first thing that comes into my head now. And I'm like, it's too, like, weirdly niche to, like, just say.
So, yeah, with the initiation, they promise to not fuck the trebles and to, like, sing their best or whatever. And and then they go to the initiation. He calls her Bakar. And then Chloe comes up and, like, is already clearly pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very confident. Like, I need to go and get a drink. And, like, does this... She's like, this ginger needs her jiggle juice and shakes her bum. And it just has such weird, like, old person talking to a young person vibe.
100%.
That it's like, she's supposed to be, like, but a year above her.
Just her vibe. Yeah. That's just her vibe.
It's kind of MILF, but she's supposed to be 19.
Her vibe, though. Her vibe is weird.
I'm not saying it's not working for her, but she is such a weirdo.
Yeah.
But one of the lines I used to quote all the time was, as Chloe walks away to get a drink, Becca's just like, make good choices. And I use that to death with all my friends. If anyone was walking away at a club or, you know, whatever, going away to, like, going off on a night out, I'd just be like, make good choices.
Bumper
hitting on Fammy's, like, I feel like we should, you know, go and do something. And she's like, oh, sometimes I have a feeling I can do crystal meth, but then I'm like, better not. Another great line.
Rebel Wilson's improv kind of carries this film.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, every now and then. And you can tell, like, even just watching the film, you can tell no one can keep up. No one can throw it back as, like, an improv the same way she does. No one can throw that out. And it's so funny to watch.
I also like that whilst they've established that, like, the troublemakers are good at a cappella and high ranking in a cappella, they are not flooded with, like, chicks. They do not have sex appeal.
No. They have sex appeal within a cappella.
Just about, but, like, with Bumper, it's just like, yeah, like, line up, ladies. Here we go.
He's the worst.
He is the worst. But they're not actually cool, I think, is the point. It's like,
yeah.
Like, the girls, obviously, the previous Bard and Bellas had a reputation for being really, like, sexy and good looking.
Yeah.
That's the point of this new back gaggle of them is just not many people auditioned. They've got to accept whoever they got, including the girl who doesn't make a sound.
Yep.
And the girl that always cries. She does stop crying though.
And a possible lesbian.
At least one.
A great which is quite a funny running gag.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel. I've read some people have been really critical about it and they don't like the way that Cynthia Rose is treated in this film.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
And it's like, she's black and she's a lesbian and she's not even particularly butch.
No.
Or mask. Like, she's, at the start, she's just got a hat on.
Yeah.
So they're like, take it away, dude. And then they're like, oh, it's not a dude.
Oh, it's not a dude, yeah.
She's a very, like, sexually active, well, not sexually active, but, like, sexually aggressive lesbian, which isn't a stereotype I love.
I think the payoff to the joke is worth it, though. Well, not worth it, but I think the payoff to the joke is kind of the funny bit, because at no point does she ever say she's not a lesbian.
It's
just, oh, I've got a severe gambling problem.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Oh, it all started when I broke up with my girlfriend. Whoop, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and then the girl next to Fat Amy is like, I still love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one ever asked. No one ever, like, asked her throughout the film.
And there are some, Sexy Stacy, who has the whiniest voice.
Yeah.
And is, like, yeah, very erotic dance moves, but can't really sing very well. It's very nasal.
Yeah, I do. Well, she's doing, like, sexy singing.
Yeah.
I do like the funny bit with her is when she's like, you know, when they're telling them they can't have sex with troublemakers, and she's like, I can't promise anything. He's really he's on the hunter. Prowl, and they're like, "You call it a he?" That's such a good joke.
And one of the girls is immediately kicked out of the Bellas because
doesn't actually come back the next day because she has sex and they find out. Yeah. And then another girl like confesses to it.
Yeah, has to like do the awkward chair drag.
Yeah,
and I swear they threaten. Anna Kent, they threaten Becca, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Audrey's like convinced that, because she can tell.
She's like, I can see you've got a toner for him.
Yeah. A what?
I can see your toner through your jeans. That's my dick.
That was a good line.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Audrey has absolutely no desire, like doesn't like Becca at all, but they need the numbers essentially at this point.
Yeah.
Well, mainly because she's like, oh, if she's late with him, I could just kick you out. And Becca's like, you can't.
You can't afford to.
Yeah.
And then they do their first...
The first mashup of like learning how to... Yeah.
Yeah, and then they do their first gig, which is such a strange gig.
Yeah,
which is such a strange gig because they're like, and Dan, you two are gonna have to weigh in on this, right? Because they go into a frat house show, and it's just them singing the same songs that they always do, and the frat guys are like, "We didn't want you; we wanted the hot Bellas." Were the Bellas really that hot in the opening scene that you're like, a frat house?
Yeah, they probably are.
Because they're wearing the same outfits.
Oh, I was going to say that the previous Bellas are too generic, like, sort of hot, if you know what I mean.
But they're like, they're wearing the same
uniforms,
but not,
they don't, because they've all got the same physique and the same hair and the same kind of the same face. And
like
they probably didn't sing those songs either. They probably sang sexier songs, but Audrey won't let the group learn anything except the set that got them to the finals.
Yeah,
but like.
Like, the new Bellas are definitely kind of hotter when they're wearing clothes that they are comfortable in and not in a uniform.
No, not that. I mean, like, why would a frat house be like, oh, yes, the a cappella group of this?
Yeah, we get to get a bunch of hot babes to come and sing on our front doorstep.
Sing a cover of some pop songs.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where it's probably a case of like when it was sexy, they were just kind of there to be eye candy at the party, and it's a good way of getting, you know, how many fair. Like 12 to 15 hot chicks at your frat party because they stay around afterwards.
It just felt like a weird.
Although, okay, as weird as this scene is, the follow up. Of Chloe just saying about how she has nodes serious way.
The scene so that is parodying someone coming out with AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
I have nodes.
What does that mean?
For ages, I didn't understand the line where Audrey's like, and Chloe, your voice didn't sound Aguilarian at all.
Yes.
And I was like, what does an Aguilarian voice sound? Oh, Christina Aguilera.
She doesn't talk like a normal person.
No.
No.
What's her name again? Audrey. Audrey. Yeah. Audrey doesn't talk like a normal person. She's like...
Excuse me?
She's so strange.
When I was a student, I did also only the once play a game pretty much by myself, but with people watching. Of take a shot every time they say "acca" something.
I mean, it's not as many as you would think. Yeah. Apart from there's one point where there's a few. Yeah,
yeah.
I had to be penguined into the club. I don't know if you guys ever did that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Don't know if you've seen that. It's where you surround the person that's too drunk to get into the club.
I guess get surrounded and then
and they're like, don't say anything. Don't look at the person on the door. Just have your ID in your hand. Walk in as straight a line as possible.
Do not stand out like that penguin from Happy Feet.
Yeah, do not tap dance.
Yeah.
That was a fun night, I think.
Chloe's got nodes. Got vocal nodes.
Hmm.
Which means her voice probably
won't be
as good.
So she can't do the solo.
Yeah. So the solos, so they're like, Becca, you can do it. She's like, no.
She's like, I'll do it. I'm happy to have a solo if you let me choose the song and like make up the and do the setting for it. What's it called? Setting? Oh, the arrangement. That's the word.
Yeah. And Audrey's like, fuck you.
It's like, no, these songs are going to get us to the championship. Like, we want to get back to the finals. These songs will get us there.
So it goes to Fat Amy.
Because Fat Amy is very much like, well, there might be someone else who wants to do that, who's too shy to put their hand up and put themselves forward, maybe.
Yeah.
They're like, well, Becca doesn't want to do it, so Becca.
And then Jesse introduces Becca to some movies, and she's like, I don't like movies, I get bored. Yeah.
What a weird like a characteristic to give a character. It's like, oh, I don't like movies.
Wait,
like,
so they can do the mashup at the end.
Yeah, so they can do the thing about the Breakfast Club, which is not as emotional and great as this movie seems to think it is.
Yeah, it's like every film seems to make out that the Breakfast Club is some like,
it's like life-changing.
Emotionally like, life-changing.
It's fine.
It might have been good. Like, you know, back when it came out, but I'm pretty sure a movie where you take the like alternative girl and make her the blandest motherfucker you've ever seen isn't that great.
Like five kids do detention badly isn't my idea. I'd rather watch Pitch Perfect.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they she doesn't like, and there's so many other ways they could have spun that. It was like she hates Simply Red, or she doesn't listen to music by men. I don't know, that maybe wouldn't be a great one.
That would be difficult.
She doesn't like, you know, she doesn't like 80s movies. Like, why did it have to be she doesn't like movies? Maybe it was like, you know,
her mum used to watch all these films with her and she doesn't want to watch them.
They didn't think that.
Yeah, and like her, but her just, that's the other thing. Yeah, they could have justified it better. The last movie she watched was before her parents, like her parents told her she was getting divorced halfway through The Lord of the Rings, and like she can't bear to finish the series or any other film.
Well, but she's like, oh, they're just predictable. Because she's
annoying. They're predictable and annoying, and you know, you always know the guy gets the girl, and that guy was his father, and it's like that's so dumb.
Yeah, but she's also very annoying.
She's very conceited. Yeah, yeah. She's hot though. Put that out there. You know, that's my hot take on Anna Kendrick. No, I don't think anyone else agrees with me.
I don't know, it's pushing it.
But yeah, Benji comes on very strong, and he like keeps her company, and she's very
it's not Benji,
not cold,
no, Jesse,
not Benji, sorry, Jesse. Comes on very strong and is like, but he's nice about it.
He's
it's not
friendly.
Like horrible, but it is a bit strong.
He's sort of trying to make more friends with her as well, because they work together at the radio and everything, and he just wants to have things to talk to her about.
I don't think he's being strong. I think he's being very normal and like trying to talk to his coworker.
Yeah,
because he's like messing around and like having fun, and she's like, don't you fucking look at me.
And then he's like, let's watch some films on my laptop, and he explains why he's chosen those films. He's like, they've got the best scores, they're the best scored films.
Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to score films.
Which is the only time we find out what someone wants to do.
Yes.
Apart from...
she wants to be...
And that establishes that, like, that's something you can learn to do at university.
Yep.
Ergo, Becca could learn music production at university. Yeah. But, you know...
And they'd be on the same course.
I mean, they have the conversation... They do have the riff off in between that conversation and him showing her Breakfast Club.
They do. They have the... Let's talk about the riff.
She's like, oh, we're rehearsing all the time. It's like, are you guys getting ready for the riff-off?
The what? I do like that her reaction is every single time they do something stupid and like a cappella-y, her reaction is, what? Her reaction is real.
Yeah.
Because they go to the riff-off, and let's just
They
talk
go
about
to the
riff-off.
Bit about the Happy Feet section.
Yeah. The riff-off took off as like a concept, because it's in all the other films as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
But essentially, the guy who can't sing spins the wheel, and they get a topic, and these four a cappella groups have to sing.
So the idea is you pick a song that's based on it has to fit the theme, and the last word before you cut off them to
they
start
get
your
to just cut
song has
off.
To be has to be the first word of your song.
Yeah,
which in this version, it's different in each film.
I imagine if you know singing and you know music, that's still really difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's a really fun bit, but it's like, how do you have all these up your sleeve?
Yeah, how does everyone that's doing this know every single song?
I mean, they have established that the other group really like Madonna.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Madonna one makes sense. But to pull out, like, No Diggity and the entire group knowing it, not just the entire group, everyone there. So Anna Kendrick, there's, like, a couple rounds, and if you get it wrong, you get kicked out, blah-de-blah. The high group get kicked out, and Anna Kendrick jumps in and sings No Diggity, and she does the rap, and then everyone is singing along. Not just her group. Everyone there is singing along.
Yeah, so the first one is it Ladies of the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go to songs about sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do the song from Happy Feet, but they don't talk about eggs, baby.
And that's where Anna Kendrick jumps in, and or Becca jumps in and does No Diggity.
Yeah, she raps, and they're like, oh, you didn't match the last word, you're out.
No, she raps it, and then the Bardenbellas join in singing.
Yeah.
Because it's not... And Audrey doesn't, because it's not like a Bardenbella song.
Mm.
It's not like one that they should be doing. And then everyone else there joins in.
Yeah, Bardenbellas have this... I don't want to say stupid rule, because I don't think it's a bad rule necessarily at all, but because it's an all-female group, they only cover songs that are made famous by women.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that, but the problem that Becca has with it is that all of the songs are like 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Audrey's like, we don't stray from tradition.
It's like the aesthetic of like 50s housewife kind of vibe.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It's like, it's that aesthetic that is very prim and proper, and so when she starts singing No Diggity and the rest of the group join in, she's like, because they lose, because it's it and not it's is what she jumped. Yeah. I don't know. You just kind of absorb that scene. And Bella's really excited. Becca's really excited because she's like, we were together. We like jump, bounced off each other. We improvised. And Audrey's like, no.
Yeah, we didn't win, like, and that's lost. What matters.
Yeah, we didn't win. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Just don't be in the group. That group sounds like hell, if I'm honest.
And then. Yeah, so after the riff off, I mean, right, to be fair, if Jesse is going to try and be like, hey, watch this movie, you don't show someone just the ending, but also he is wrong. Because the ending of The Breakfast Club is not the greatest ending to any movie ever, and is not the greatest scored bit of an ending movie ever, because he has not seen Shrek 2.
True. Absolutely fucking true. The best scene to... Becca would love films if you showed her Shrek 2.
And also, it would make a very different mashup at the end.
Yeah.
If instead it was I Need a Hero.
It would make it such a so better, such a nonsensical mashup, though. If she just started singing I Need a Hero, it'd be great.
It's Living La Vida Loca at the end of Shrek 2.
No, but the actual song is...
The charging scene, the good bit.
Actually, it would make far more sense for the Bellas to sing I Need a Hero than it would them to sing the song at the... Yeah, that would have been better. They should have shown her Shrek too.
Couldn't get the rights.
No, obviously. I mean, it would have been a very funny scene to have him be like, I need you, the best film ever. Shrek 2.
Well, that just makes me think of when we have guests on the show and they're like, this is the best film in the world that four people have watched.
I mean, like, as an audience member, if you're watching it and he's just like, this is his favourite film, this changed him as a person, Shrek 2. It's so good, I feel like I need to show it to someone that hates films. This will change their opinion.
Watch Shrek 2.
But she doesn't even see the end of the film in that bit, does she? That's later when she's alone.
No, he only shows her the end. He doesn't show her the whole film at the end.
And then she doesn't watch it.
He doesn't understand how to watch films, does he?
No. He just wants to show her the score at the end. Yeah. The Simple Minds song.
And he's like, oh, you know, launch Simple Minds in the US and dot, dot, dot. And
what?
She doesn't even let the song play out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, she doesn't get it.
So what in a does nice way. He want to do in his job? Because he's like, I want to score films, I want to...
Which made sense if he was going to show her, like, songs that had actual original
Yeah, like a score.
Like Titanic and Jaws and what? Jaws? No, that is like that was a revolutionary. Like that. That is a good score. It's an amazing score. And like E.T. He does have some.
He's got E.T. and Star Wars and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's like, those are amazingly scored films. The Breakfast Club is not.
Well, like it's amazingly, from what I've seen, like seeing it, it is amazingly scored, but in it's scored with music, with like actual pop music.
Also, I don't think they're gonna have the ending mashup halfway through. Becca just goes. It just runs on stage.
This time, I'll be.
That was Party in the USA just, on top of it.
That's true.
Party in the USA over Jewel of the Fates from the Phantom Menace.
And then the Cantina song.
That would go well with Bulletproof, actually.
Bulletproof. I need to. There's a line in this, and it's about now in the film. Where
we've not gone very far into the
she's like Becca says to Aubrey, like, we should be doing mashups, we could really change, she says, we could change like the face of acapella, we could change acapella forever. And then she's like, but like mashups is the standard thing to do in acapella.
They're not doing mashups in this established acapella universe.
In the acapella verse. Yeah.
You don't do mashups. Everyone does two to three songs, depending on how prevalent they are in the plot.
Yeah, that's true. And, how much of a set they get.
If you're a side piece, you get one song. But they do them back to back. So they blend them together, but they don't mash them up together.
That's
her revolutionary idea is, instead of singing three songs one after the other, let's sing eight songs at the same time.
What if we pack more songs in there?
Butts in, can't lose. Let's just do it.
And then we should get through this film.
Day of the Regionals, and there's the Socapella group there. Great. They should have a whole film about them.
Great. I want a documentary. I want a documentary about a Socapella group.
Essentially, they make it through this doing the standard basic Bellas thing, including the really dry, dull song in the middle, which is described as an elephant dart to the public's face.
doesn't Amy like really?
Amy saves it.
Yeah, Amy has the solo. Yeah.
She does like a really emotive, like it gets pretty extreme.
She's great.
Oh, and then when the Troublemakers are doing this, and the commentator's like, well, I might have to go and freshen up the downtown. And the guy's like, can I help?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So the Bellas get second place, like the Troublemakers.
Bellas don't get a second place.
No, that's...
They do in this one. They do. Next one that they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's this. Yeah, this is the bit where so the Soccer Pillars get third. They go outside. There's the old people group outside, which is like Joe Lotrulio and Turk from Scrubs and a couple of other guys. And they're like, please just fight us. We want to feel something.
Yeah.
And it ends with Becca accidentally smashing the window.
Yeah, getting arrested
and gets sent to prison. Yeah. And then she's being a massive bitch because Jesse called her dad to get her out. And she's like, why would you do that?
She doesn't go to prison. She goes to a police station.
She gets arrested.
Yeah. She doesn't get sentenced to prison.
She goes to juvie.
Yeah. This isn't Thunderpants.
She doesn't get the death sentence for smashing a window.
You did.
A cappella, but it's gunshots.
Well, that's Bugsy Malone.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, Benji like meets her out, waits for her to get out, which probably took ages.
they're all interchangeable.
E-ending name boy.
I just had a really bleak thought when you said like, oh yeah, she's not getting executed. Just Becca stood there with a firing range, just very quietly singing Bulletproof.
This time, baby.
Bang!
Do you think someone was trying to shoot the Proclaimers? That's why she did that matchup.
Yeah. But yeah, Jesse,
I didn't want to shoot them for four, and no. I think many people did. Then after,
Jesse calls her dad because fucking obviously he can't afford to get her out,
and it's also a big deal, and it's like that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Well, we don't know how much. I don't actually know how much it costs to bail someone out of prison.
I think it's
dependent on the crime, obviously.
Which is like smashing a window.
Yeah, destruction of property.
Pay for the window, I guess.
Dad is just, obviously he's fuming, because why wouldn't you be when you've been woken up in the middle of the night to come and bail your kid out of prison? Jail or whatever.
Juvie. High security prison.
And,
from Alcatraz, actually.
He's like, I can explain. I was doing what you wanted me to do. And he's just like, obviously not what I wanted you to do.
Yeah. And his thing is like, I'm not going to pay for you to go to LA.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, that's not fair.
She gets back to her dorm and the Bellas are waiting for her. And Kimmy Jim is fuming.
Yes. Yeah, they've been here hours.
Real inconvenience, Becca.
Yeah. Again, I'd be furious too. Also, like, she probably told them to get out quite a lot. For them to just still be there is just
like, wait outside. Can you wait outside? Yeah, like, it'll have the same impact.
I'll tell her that you came by, but I need to sleep. I'm in school, so are you. Why are none of you ever in class?
I mean, I haven't watched enough Glee to know exactly. We called the last one regionals. Is this sectionals?
The semi-finals.
Semi-finals.
The day of the semi-finals, Luke is playing Becca's mix over the radio, and he's like, you can do the night shift. I like your music. This is where they're having to travel out, and Amy gets attacked by a burrito.
Yeah, Amy gets burritoed. And then they sing. They're all sat in the car grumpy. And Amy,
yeah, you say that the trouble. Yeah, it's Bumper throws a burrito at her, and she's like, "I've been shot."
I've been shot. Yeah.
And yeah, so she forgets, because she got attacked by flying Mexican food. She forgets to fill up the tank with gas, and
but also they aggressively sing.
Party in the USA. So back in December, I went to see The Used live, and you know how they just play general music before, that song came on, and everyone in the room was singing along to it. Yeah. It's just like this fucking huge crowd of like emo kids and like elderly emos like me, all singing along to fucking Party in the USA. Yeah, it was such a good time. It was such a good vibe.
There's a magic to Miley Cyrus, though. Anyone can sing along to her songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all good. They're all bangers. So their car breaks down. They have to call the troublemakers.
Yeah.
Who?
Amy's like, I've got baby. Audrey's like, don't even you dare. And then Audrey's like, Amy's like,
I've got
Bumper's number. And then she's like, why? And they're like,
I can believe it.
Yeah.
So the Beckers stick to what they know.
Yeah.
But, I like how much we're interchanging. The group are called the Beckers.
The Beckers.
And Anna Kendrick is called Bella.
Yeah. Ultimately, this is potentially one of the films I've seen the most, and I'm getting the names horrendously wrong. Yeah.
We're just going. We've got no time to pause out.
No. We've got to get through this film. But you want to talk about every bit, because every bit is so good.
Every bit is so good. But yeah, they're in the car. We learned that the Quiet Girl can actually kind of beatbox.
That's a little bit later.
No, that's when
she can kind of beatbox. She's just starting
to learn to.
Oh, yeah.
But and she says, I light fires to feel joy.
Yes.
They do the semifinals. They're doing the same thing again, and everyone is incredibly bored. And then Becca starts singing Bulletproof.
Yeah, obviously, because it's her favourite song.
the trebles one's
really good in that one, I think.
The trebles are
You spin my head right round.
Yeah.
That one. And it's really good, but the dancing is so lame. But it's funny because they're all doing it. It's just like...
It's a cappella. You can't. It's lame. It's inherently lame.
They're all singing, you spin my head right round, while spinning.
Yeah.
Which is quite difficult to do, I imagine.
Well, yeah, no, it's impressive, but it's dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the troublemakers never sing the same songs twice, basically.
No.
And Becca, like, Audrey is convinced that the only way to get back to the finals is if these girls learn the same set that they learned that got them there last year.
The troublemakers, to be, like, honestly, troublemakers should be winning every event.
Yeah, they're really good.
In comparison to, like, the Beckers, they're putting in so much more effort and they all seem less stressed about it. They're not just like learning the same songs and learning some choreography. They're doing new choreography to a new series of songs every single competition. That's so much work.
Yeah.
And the Bellas are out here complaining about learning the same three songs.
And so it's the top two from this go through to the finals.
Yeah. I would say, like, the idea when Bella starts singing Bulletproof during their performance and they all get thrown off.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they'd not planned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. She's like, if she's decided to do it, she looks over and the sound engineer's just taking his headphones off and is on his phone.
Yeah. Everyone's getting bored. And so she sings that and everyone's like, ooh, how excited, how mildly excited.
Well, that was unexpected.
Ooh, that's slightly unexpected.
But Audrey sort of messes up her solo a little bit and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't fall.
Yeah. The tension on the stage is palpable.
Yeah. But they come third, which means they don't get to go.
Because there's this special... The important bit is they come third because they can't beat two teams. And the other team that's actually better than them is...
One of their kids is actually in high school, not in college.
Yeah, he sings really beautifully, but he describes like his boys haven't dropped.
Yeah. But yeah, they don't get through. They come third and they kind of just go on with their lives. And yeah, it turns out one of the kids is lying.
Yeah.
They do blame it on the boogie. Yes. Yeah.
And it's Benji who's like for some reason helping out all of the like volunteer. I guess because he loves a cappella still.
Yep. He really wants to be a troublemaker.
He really wants to be a troublemaker.
Yeah, he notices and reports that he's not a college kid; he's a high school kid.
And when the two commentators go round to like inquire about it, the guy's just like tutting. He's like.
It does show you that it's not a big industry when it's the commentators are enforcing the conditions.
Yeah, like this is the collegiate a cappella group.
Yeah.
It has come to our attention that you are not in college.
Yeah. And then they get the call and they can all.
Yeah. Where they've all been doing their own things, Chloe has gone to get. The nodes removed. Like, you see she's in hospital, but it's not kind of revealed what's going on. But they're all getting the message to say it's back on and she's in hospital. Amy is just surrounded by fucking ripped guys in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
I think she's at the frat. I think that's where she is. I think they're the same frat guys from earlier.
Mm.
And
yeah, I think
not
so.
That I noticed that. Not that I noticed that.
Really?
Shush.
We've just spent like an hour and 15 minutes talking about how hot Anna Kendrick is.
That's true.
We can let Mikey have this one.
Yeah.
There's three shirtless guys in this film, and don't worry, I counted.
Yeah, I'm inclined to believe you. I'll take your word on that. So then Cynthia Rose is like, I'm all in, baby, on a poker game.
Yeah.
And then the quiet girl is under a bridge, kind of beatboxing.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah,
reminds me of the street countdown bit from the IT Crowd.
Yeah. they're all getting on with their lives. They all get a call back.
Audrey's doing Pilates, I think.
Yeah. Is this when they have like the argument, and the second vomiting happens?
They're all kind of
together.
Becca
has a fight with Jesse.
Yeah.
And then
she watches the Breakfast Club after a bit and cries.
Because Becca
no wonder she doesn't watch films.
Yeah.
And she's trying to apologize to Jesse as well, and he's just like, no. It's not that simple, like no.
Because he tries really hard, and then she yells at him. But it's not the yelling. It's not like that. She's angry at him at that point. It's this like her reluctance to even acknowledge him as a friend.
Yeah.
Let alone, he's like, no, we're not. Like, can you leave me alone? Back off. I don't need you. Side of it that he really obviously doesn't like. Not that anyone should like that. Like, she is being really.
She's just awful.
Yeah.
She is just awful.
And she's talking to her, she's talking to her dad, and she's like, it's easier to shut everyone out. And he's like, yeah, but it's also really lonely. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she Bella, has... Becca admits that she's actually really fond of the girls, and she really regrets quitting and not,
she wants
not being
to
part
go
of the group
back
anymore.
Meanwhile, Bumper leaves the
Bumper
Troublemakers for LA like performing with John Mayer. So Benji can finally join. That's the bit where he's like, you can join, but don't be weird about it. And he's like, what do you mean?
If you're weird, they will not let you stay.
Yeah. And it's because they're like, all of the girls are arguing, and Aubrey's like, I can lose control if I want to.
They're arguing. Chloe invited Becca, and she says, look, I invited Bella back. And everyone else is like, yeah, it's not the same without everyone here. And Audrey's like, well, I'm the bad guy, aren't I? I'm the one who ruined everything. And she's like, I'm not going to choke it down. And all of them look at her like, what?
Wait, is this where the best joke is in the film? Well, we'll get to the vomiting in a second. Is this where the best joke in the film is, where they're like, some of you weren't even here. It feels like it weren't even here the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's just two,
the two girls characters. The they're not new. They were in the start of the film.
Yeah, they've just been in the background the whole time.
They've been in the background the whole time, but they've not had any other lines.
Yeah.
And they're like, Emily, Jessica, it's like you've not been here the whole time. And they're like, oh my God, we've literally been here the whole time. It's the girl that's always crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, the other one.
That's such a good joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's such an amazing... That's the best part of the
film.
There's
a really great bit in Pitch Perfect 3, which is not a good film.
No.
I remember that having one good scene.
But there's a bit where they say, Emily, Jessica, we need to get moving. And they're like, did they just say our name? And then she replies, no, don't be stupid. And they just keep like looking at their phones.
It's such a good joke. They argue about who's in charge.
They vomit. She vomits.
She's like, they have a huge fight. The quiet girl like falls in it and then just starts doing like,
that
vomit
was
angels.
So gross. Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah,
that whole scene is so strange.
And like everyone's screaming and running up the running up the chairs in the auditorium.
Becca comes in and kind of tries to control everyone. Because Aubrey's like, it's because my dad had a saying, if at first you don't succeed, pack your bags.
As good as the first line at the start where she's like, my dad always said, if at first you don't succeed, get the hell out of Kuwait.
Yeah.
And then Bella lady is just like, has your dad ever told you to shut up?
So this is where it comes out about like the girl having the gambling problem. The quiet girl's like, I ate my twin in the womb.
Becca's like, we've spent so much time rehearsing, we don't know each other very well.
Yeah.
And she asks Audrey if she can have back in.
Yeah.
So but they give her the like the tuning.
Yeah, she becomes in charge basically.
And she drops it in the vomit and they're like, I'm going
near that. Yeah, no. This is, and Chloe's like, I had my nodes removed. And then she can do like just the mad deep bass.
So they go to the pool where they had the riff off. Because they're like, this is where we actually did some good singing.
Mm.
Yes.
And
because that's how it works.
They do Bruno Mars,
They immediately abandon this idea that they're going to do songs made famous by women. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'll let that slide.
I guess they
kind of set up the Simply Red bit.
Yeah.
Already,
Simple Minds.
Yeah.
Becca's like remixing and shit like that, and they do the hands on three thing, and that's when Chloe's just like,
and it's because at the very beginning of the film when they're like, oh, it's an only girl, the only all girl group to get into the finals of the a cappella group, and they say, oh, it's because they lack the deep voices, the really round off a song.
Yeah.
And like that is said once at the very beginning of the film.
Yeah.
and it also doesn't make sense because all of their songs have bass.
Yeah.
Throughout the film, there's bass throughout all of their songs, so it's wrong.
Mm. And I love how when they're all preparing, and then the quiet girl just says in like a normal speaking volume, she's like, "Oh, I've got something that can help." And Amy's just like, "Excuse me, bitch, you don't have to shout."
Yeah. You can tell why Rebel Wilson's lines end almost every scene.
Yeah.
Everyone's pissing themselves.
Like, she has the final line in most of the scenes she's in.
The bloopers when she straight up asks Audrey if she has, Chloe, if she has herpes.
Yeah.
The bloopers in that scene are great. But yeah, so then it cuts to the finals. And
yeah.
The Trebles do a pretty fantastic show. Like, yeah. I really like the Trebles final.
Benji is part of it, and they do. He has the magic in.
They repeat a song, and I think that's why they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've done this song before.
Yeah.
That's why they lost.
The entire finals like performance of the Bellas is also just like. I didn't know it word for word, but I knew it.
Yeah, I know it word for word.
Yeah. I probably do.
It's like, it's not just a mashup, it's a mashup. There's a lot of songs.
There's a lot of songs.
And it is just so, like, just so much, but it's great because it's everything they've been working towards.
Yeah. And then they sing the song.
They sing Don't You Forget About Me. Like, Jesse's realization of it and as he's looking up, and I'm just like... I'm not crying.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, emotional ending for a film that has very little emotion.
Yeah, there's no need for it to be that emotional. She's done that song and she's clearly done it for him, which I'm like, is an amazing ulterior motive to have for winning a competition. Is like, I'm going to get this guy to forgive me by singing a song he likes.
Ultimately, I don't think Becca cares about winning finals. No. She cares that everyone else cares.
Yeah.
And she wants to do a good job, but she wants it to be
a good show and like everyone
feel
good about it.
She's made friends, yeah.
She is ultimately a selfish character.
And everyone, all the girls wear clothes that actually suit their body types and they're comfortable in and they look really sexy.
Yeah.
Especially Anna Kendrick. Yep,
sorry. Yeah, they all sing. They sing
this mashup and Chloe can do the bass notes and they really point it out at one point, and she's just going,
it's so badly fake, but it's really good.
It's so good.
And everyone loves it.
Everyone loses their shit. Like, everyone.
And they, so they end, and everyone's like, woo!
Yeah, they get a proper standing ovation.
She goes back down and kisses Jesse.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I told you the endings are the best part."
What? And then I like how it doesn't immediately announce that they won. It just cuts to the next year's auditions. And Christopher Mintz flies back. He's like, "Oh, I got rejected from the army, shoved into a Dora the Explorer backpack.
Left in the woods with nothing but my suspenders."
Yeah. It's like, and then he's like, "Yeah, and the winners from last year's competition get to choose the song for the audition." And then the Bellas are like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, listen up, nerds.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to another, like, real boingy beat that's very...
Yeah, the credits beat.
What's weird is she picked a mashup of 500 Miles and Titanium.
And no one knew it.
And no one knew it.
Yeah.
Also, the idea that they're at the auditions, right? They're at the auditions ready to listen to, and that's where they announce the song, is a dick move.
Mm.
You're there at the auditions and they're like, you have to sing this. And like, well, I don't know it. Dick.
That's where you do the cup song.
She did the cup song. It doesn't make any sense. So there's no defense.
Are you pointing holes in Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
How dare
it's such
you?
But it's such a... Fair. Nah. God, this film is good.
It's better problems. Than it should be.
It's got issues. It has a lot of it hasn't aged that well. A lot of, like, the lines and the dialogue and, like, the lesbian character and Fat Amy and you're like, a lot of it, you're like, ugh. But it's a product of its time.
Yeah.
100% a product of its time. It's the most product of its time since American Pie.
Pitch Perfect is 2012's American Pie.
Yeah.
Like, the gay jokes aren't... Ha, she's gay. The gay jokes are like, ha, she acts gay.
One of us has to be.
One of us has to be gay.
Like, she keeps groping people.
She's groping people. At one point, Becca gets a rape whistle right at the start.
Yep.
Which is funnier than it sounds. But then, yeah, it's clear that Stacey has one as well. And then in the vomit scene,
yeah,
when she's running up, she starts blowing that whistle as Cynthia Rose is groping her. It's a bit like,
yeah.
Okay, it's a bit much.
Yeah, they didn't need that.
No.
Yeah.
But overall,
it's still a great film. It's tight. It's not too long. How long is it? Because it's
like an hour and 50 minutes. It's a bit
shorter than us recording.
not yet, but we'll probably get. Yeah, it's longer than I thought. I thought it'd be like a tight 90, but it is an hour and 50 minutes. So it's like a little bit long, like just under 2 hours. But
it's a good film. Go and watch it.
If you had to put a number value on it.
8 songs mashed into one performance.
eight different times she sings Bulletproof.
The eight songs that Anna Kendrick plays. Eight of Bella's shitty. Eight other courses outside of music engineering.
Fair. I think for me it is 9.
It's such a fun movie.
it's a solid 9. I'd say 9 times Bard and Bella's sleep with troublemakers.
Get kicked out.
There's the flaws. Like, I think the gay jokes haven't aged well. The Jewish jokes also not great, but
yeah.
they're not awful. It doesn't ruin it. And
for how many jokes there are in this film, the some are gonna have aged.
The amount that still land hard is really good. The amount of vomit is perfect.
Yeah. Oh yeah, very rarely do you get a perfect amount of vomit in a film.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I feel like if they had done that one more time, it would have been too much.
Yeah.
I like that the main character isn't perfect. They try really hard to make you like her, but that's fine because it's Anna Kendrick. She's quite easily likable. But she's flawed and she has to actually kind of learn something.
Yeah, she has a character arc.
It's not just she's bad at singing and wants to be good at singing and gets better at singing. No, it's a little bit more in depth than that.
Good at singing, wants to make mashups, is bad at making mashups, doesn't get better at making mashups.
So she has to remix herself into other people's lives.
Yeah, the most unrealistic part of this film is that guy that owns the radio station going, wow, your songs are really good, because they're not.
It's college radio. He's run out of songs to play 5 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah.
License. He can play literally anything.
Or he's just trying to get in her pants. There is a bit where he's like, you need to.
Yep. Like, I remember that bit very clearly.
Do you?
yeah, where he takes his shirt off. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm all right.
Benji, he asked Jesse, oh, can you go and get me some lunch? And he's like, oh, you don't want to be eating too many of those. Like, you'll get fat.
It's one of and the three shirts.
He is shredded.
He is.
And he's just like, I think I'm good. And Becca's just like, he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd give this 8 times Helena said how hot Anna Kendrick is in this episode. But agreed.
She is so
yeah.
hot.
Yeah, no.
I think it hasn't gone away. I still have a big crush on Anna Kendrick.
Really? I think you still do.
I was very aware of it in 2012. Like, very aware. Especially during the Cup song, because it's such a good song.
I think everyone did in 2012.
Have you guys ever seen the video, the music video for the Cup song that she's
doing? Weird.
It's so weird. She's like a baker?
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm glad we finally watched this film because, I was going to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's always nice to talk about good movies. And soon we'll get back to talking about absolute shit, don't you worry.
Yeah. We've had a roll of good movies.
Yeah. So now we've got to dig deep through the pile of shit.
Yeah.
And We'll see.
I hear the little barking of Soccer Dog 2 European Tour.
How dare you? That's a great film. I've never seen Soccer Dog 1.
Well, with that, I've been Dan.
I've been Michael.
And I've been Helena.
You can find this podcast on social media at Hilton Pod. That's at HILTM Pod. We're on Discord as well if you want to come and tell us how hot Anna Kendrick is.
She's hot.
Count the amount of shirtless guys in this film.
Yeah. just quote Pitch Perfect in there. It won't get old at all.
Join our ACCA Discord.
Yeah. We also have an ACCA Patreon where you can donate ACCA. Your ACCA money. cash, that makes sense.
what Listen to us on Acast.
Yeah.
ACCAcast.
For the Patreon, are we going to remake this, but it's Shrek 2?
No. For the Patreon, we... And this is more about us going... We're gonna have
are we going
to
sing every song from Shrek 2 at once?
We're going to have to pay for singing classes to begin with.
Hey, I used to pay for... Well, my parents paid for singing classes.
Yeah, you did. Okay, we'll just do that then. Me and Dan won't. We'll see how this goes.
A cappella by myself might be a bit sad.
That's just called singing. we're going to join an international a cappella competition. We're going to get a ragtag bunch of singers together.
Nice.
And we're going to enter a competition. One of us is going to fall in love and be an arsehole about it. And we are going to sing. And one of the end songs we're going to sing is going to be the end song from Shrek. That's what we're going to do. We're going to win. And we're going to come back and do a podcast about winning.
Okay, but I have one condition. We have to wear the fairy godmother outfit.
Yeah, 100%. That's part of
all of us.
That was a given. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to dress as the characters from Shrek, but like artistically, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's not copyright. It's okay.
Yeah. And then we're going to sing "I Need a Hero" as our end song because it is such a good song.
I'm not sure if a cappella will do it justice.
Yeah, you definitely do that. Yeah, the build. That song is a lot of voices anyway.
Yeah, we might like need we might need a it's choir.
A lot of choir, which is like religious a cappella, if anything.
No, I think the better way to do it is get every single guest we've had on the show before.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to. That's a lot of music classes.
Yeah, big a cappella group though. Great,
huge big a cappella group. But yeah, no, choir is just religious a cappella. So
I've done a lot of a cappella singing, but yeah. It's not with the Pitch Perfect vibe. It's very much with the "we could be monks" kind of.
Is that the sequel to "We Could Be Hero"? It's a very stripped back version of that song. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna create an a cappella group, join an international competition. Win said competition, learn to be better people along the way. Hopefully. Or become worse people.
We're already maybe. Flawless.
Yeah.
Maybe vomit on a lot of people.
I don't think I can vomit like that. I don't want to find out.
I think I can. I just need to down like a lot of milk beforehand.
Oh, milk vomit's the worst. I mean, vomit in general. I fucking hate being sick. Do not.
What? Oh my god. It's my favourite thing.
Just like down like a gallon and a half of milk and just
wasn't
hold
that
it
a, that that wasn't a Vine challenge, was it? That was a YouTube challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
It Vine? I was going to say, struggle to drink it in 7 seconds.
It's because your body can't take in like a gallon of milk. It just can't do it. No, the human body can't do it, so it just gets rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's something about like a gallon being too much for your body to deal with at once.
It's probably bigger than your stomach.
Yeah, no, because you can drink like a gallon of other stuff. Like people drink like a gallon of water. There's something about milk that your body rejects.
I think that's called lactose intolerance.
No, because even people that aren't... I mean, if you don't drink a gallon of milk if you've got lactose intolerance, because you've got...
I was going to say, I'm vegan, so problems. I'm just going to not...
All right, you can gallon of oat milk.
would that have the same effect, or is it specifically milk?
I don't know if it's like the calcium that your body...
Anyway...
Because it's either because if you dye the milk a certain colour,
I've already wrapped it up. This is the bit where I just cut it off at a random point in the editing.
But you've not said where to find us.
Yes, I have. We've done all that. This is the Patreon bit.
Like it will come up that exact colour, so you know it's the same. Like it's exactly the same.
Yeah, I've seen it dyed like kind of greeny.
Yeah. So it's not like it's bringing up anything else in your stomach. Your body just can't have that much milk.
Have you ever watched someone try and down a litre of Coke?
Yeah, but that's like the...
Very funny.
The Sprite banana one is the worst.
The Sprite challenge is also very funny, which is can you drink a can of Sprite without burping? It's very funny. Can you down a can of a Sprite?
Oh, that I'm thinking of another Vine where she's just like, it hurts. And she goes,
she gives a proper Chloe in Pitch Perfect noise. Anyway, go and check out. We also have a YouTube channel. Go and check it out. We can do the Sprite challenge.
No. Just so you guys know, nine years ago today, with two of my housemates in first year, we ate 100 spring rolls.
Like in one go? I mean, yeah.
In one sitting.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so it wouldn't be that impressive.
Mouthful.
Over the course of a week.
Just dislocated our jaws and like ate a pan like a snake.
Hang on, can I just really quickly go and fill my glass up with water? Because we've been recording for ages and I feel like we're going to keep going for ages.
Maybe.
Don't stop recording, though. I'll just cut this out, but I really need to get a drink. I'll just be a minute.
And I would walk 500 miles. And I would walk 500.
All of her mashups are so bad in this film. It's so bad. This is why she needs a degree in music.
Yeah.
She might actually be able to do a decent mashup. And the fact that he listens to it and he's like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah. Well, he's too nice. Like, that's Jesse's problem.
Yeah. You're like, you're meant to know music. You sing, you should know what a good, like, of all people who should know what a good mashup should sound like, it's someone who does a cappella.